as I normally do, I want to share a story. This one is fairly short. This summer, I had the opportunity to go camping with my family, and in the process of doing this, I had to find all of our camping gear. Our camping gear is all in the basement, and our basement is unfinished, which means that it is basically a collection place for all of those things that we just cannot fit upstairs anymore. So we collect a few things. We've got boxes and piles of boxes and boxes within boxes, and I think you probably get the idea. Many of these boxes are what I call time capsules. I affectionately call them that because they contain a variety of things from some stage in our life. We'll take an armful of things from our desk and we'll put it in a box and go to another place, and there it sits. It just represents the things that we had and used and valued at that point in time. So as I was looking for stuff, I opened up one time capsule and I found a little tiny note. This is a note that my wife had written. And I came across this as I was going through things. And it's a Bible scripture quote that I'd like to read to you. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." That's from Proverbs 3:5. That is quite a simple statement and very inspiring, and it gave me pause at that moment to just reflect on that and think to myself about what it means to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I stopped and thought to myself about whether I'm doing just that. Am I really trusting in God with all my heart? And the emphasis is on the all part. Sure, I trust in God here and there, but is it with my entire existence, with everything I care for? So I thought about this question and realized that it was not only a fundamental one for me, but also for every Christian to ask. We really need to trust in God with all of our heart. We need to ask ourselves if our heart is in our conversion. And I want to make this very personal. Is your heart in your conversion? Is my heart in my conversion? Is this way of life, this Christian way of living, is it something that we raise above every other priority that we have? Do our fruits prove the intent of our heart by action? Those are the kinds of questions that flooded into my mind then, and as I proceeded to prepare for this sermon. Now, it is important that our hearts are in our conversion completely, as this scripture says. The fall holy days are here. They are upon us. They begin right now. I have the privilege of speaking first for these fall holy days. And we are going to participate in observing these holy days together. And it's important that we have the right frame of mind. I wanted to bring up this topic because we can't go through these holy days on autopilot. It would be one thing to sit and just go through the mechanics, get in the cars, get in the planes, travel to where we're going, where God has placed his name, talk with people, and not really reflect on whether our heart is in our conversion. This is important. Is your heart in it? That is the title of my sermonette today. I'd like to open up in Scripture in 2 Timothy 3 and read verses 1 through 8. You might think this as being an odd Scripture to open up with, but I don't, obviously, because I'm picking it. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That last statement rings loud. In verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This scripture describes the state of the world in the last days, this time period where we live right now. And we cannot be self-deceived. These terms can apply to us as well. Do any of these statements apply to us? Are we disobedient to parents? Are we unloving? Are we lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? And most importantly, do we have a form of godliness but deny its power? Are we here today observing the Feast of Trumpets, going through the mechanics, sitting in this chair, reading and listening and writing notes, but not really acknowledging God and His power? That's something we need to examine within ourselves. We cannot have a shell of a Christian existence appearing outwardly, even to ourselves appearing outwardly to be living a Christian life, but not truly having our heart into it. Let's go over to Psalm 119, and I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. When we read this, are we able to apply this scripture to ourselves instead? Are we able to overcome the world, overcome sin, follow God and His commandments, not only in the outward appearance, but are we doing that with our whole heart? Are we invested in it? That is the kind of thing we need to answer yes to. And if we can't answer yes confidently right now, we need to do some work. It's possible. We can change. In fact, that's part of the conversion of a Christian, is to constantly evaluate and fix, and evaluate and fix, and grow. That's what it means to seek God with your whole heart. It's to honestly, genuinely improve yourself, not for the sake of appearing righteous, but for the sake of seeking God. Let's go over to Matthew 7, and I'd like to read verses 15 through 17. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. This speaks of false prophets, but the point applies to Christians as well. We will be known by our fruits. If our heart is in the right place, we will have good fruits, spiritual fruits. We will have individual growth. We'll have greater understanding. We'll have love for one another and patience and long-suffering. We'll be seeking righteousness. James 2, verses 18 through 20. Turn with me over there. James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" The point that this scripture makes is that our actions need to be consistent with the beliefs in our hearts, with our faith. We cannot say one thing and do another. We can't be faithful and not act in faith. If we are going to be strong in our faith, we need to have that reflected in what we do. And of course, our actions will bear fruit. One thing leads to the other, but it begins in the heart, in each one of us. Let's go over to Luke 12 and verse 34. Luke 12, verse 34, states something very simple. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are we willing to make sacrifices? In our lives, do we sacrifice our time, our effort, our money, our resources for things that have spiritual value? We really need to. Are we proving that our treasure is in heaven by our actions, by our behavior? Are we bearing fruit? The things that we invest ourselves into right now wholeheartedly will prove where our hearts are. Are we focusing on things that we will get or buy, or are we focusing on ways that we can grow? What this really comes down to is coming out of the world. You hear me speak about that a lot. Seeking spiritual treasure. We need to be motivated by things that are not worldly. We need to be motivated by things that are spiritual in our heart. We ask the question often, why are you here? What are the reasons that we're here observing this Feast of Trumpets today? Why are we going to go to the Feast of Tabernacles and observe the feast? Are we looking forward to the time off that we'll have from work? Are we looking forward to the shopping or other passing pleasures, maybe the food and drink? Probably. And it's okay to look forward to those things. However, our primary purpose in attending the feast must be of a greater value. Are you investing yourself during your feast and Fall Holy Day observance to spiritual growth and understanding? Are you looking forward to building relationships with your brethren? Are you looking forward to the action of worshiping God in the way that He commands? This is where our hearts need to be. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this phenomenon, but the feast blues are an interesting event that I've witnessed and experienced, and I don't know how many of you out there have experienced the same thing, but it's characterized by disappointment, usually of something very carnal, at being at the feast and feeling like we should be treated differently by others, or we're just not generally getting what we want out of the feast. Normally, this kind of feeling happens when we lose focus on the purpose of the feast, when our hearts are drawn away and lured away by worldly things, those carnal pleasures, the passing ones. When this feeling starts to emerge, if that happens to you, it should serve as an indication that our priorities need to change, that our hearts could be in the wrong place, that we need to refocus. And that's what I'm speaking about today, is refocusing. Now is a great time to do it. With the Feast of Trumpets here right now, today, the fall holy days have begun. Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day will be very quickly upon us. If we haven't started recalibrating our hearts and our spiritual state right now, now is the time to make sure that our hearts are in the right place.